Well, good morning and welcome to a very special edition of AV Daybreak. I'm here as always with Jared Hillman. How are you, Jared?
I'm great. Thank you.
Short
and
sweet.
That's all I'm giving you. Yeah.
That's all you got. I'm great.
Well, I want to see what you rolled with.
I love it. So we had a request to do kind of a special show to help a couple people get the word out on something that's going on. And I was honored that we got approached about this. So Avixa.
We were the only ones that answered the phone.
Yes, we were. We were the default after you're the number two girl. You're my number two girl. You only have my cell phone. It's the burner phone. We were on the burner phone. So we have Annette Sandler and Megan Jackson from Avixa. How are you, ladies?
Great. Thanks for having us.
I'm excited to have you.
You were actually the only folks we reached out to.
Yeah. Wow.
Jared, don't you feel special?
Top of the list.
We were somebody's first choice, Jared.
I can go with that.
I don't even think that happened on my wedding day.
That's my feel good Friday.
So Avixa reached out to us, Annette and Megan reached out to us because this year Avixa has just released their call for presenters for Infocom. And I don't know if anybody got the email, but I got the pass the mic email and my Beastie Boys affinity like lit up right away. I had to open it just to read it because it said pass the mic. But the call for presenters has come out. And for anybody who doesn't know what the call for presenters is, call for presenters is where Avixa reaches out to the community and asks people to submit ideas for panels and for courses and all those things that'll shape kind of the educational tracks at Infocom in the upcoming year. So they wanted to come on the show and talk to us a little bit about, how this year might be a little different and how they're looking to perhaps expand the community. So I'm excited. So with that, Megan and Annette, so with all that's going on, obviously it's been crazy. There's a lot of news around trade shows and we went virtual last year and all those things. So, you know, I think people are understanding that connection and content are really the unlock, you know, right now to these events, right? Like, so with that kind of being this new normal where we're really trying to create deeper connections and we're trying to provide valuable content to make sure that people get the most out of their travel and their shows and the time that they're spending. Has that changed what Avixa is looking for this year in your call for presenters?
Right now, we're focused on the technologies and the solution areas that are so critical for everyone to stay connected. So top of mind right now are conferencing and collaboration, of course, learning solutions, of course, digital signage, streaming media, storage and distribution, all of the things that are keeping people connected remotely. And, you know, within those, how are those new solutions coming together? We're advancing the technology as an industry. We're using the technology differently as a society. And that's really what we want to talk about at Infocom 2021.
Yeah, I like that because I think, you know, Over the past few years, as Avixa has kind of embraced more of this customer experience movement, it seems in the past, like, you know, when it was just the product show, you know, it seemed in the past the show was much more product centric. And so we were kind of creating content based on what manufacturers wanted to talk about. And I like this idea of kind of a community / human centered approach to like, what are people's biggest challenges right now and how do we provide the education around that and then let people bring ideas on how to solve those problems. Seems like a reversal, right? So that's really cool. Megan, what's your role go ahead.
Sorry, Mark. I was just going to say, it's interesting to hear that it's a reversal. Of course, I've been with Avixa for 2.5 years now.
Yeah.
But I think exactly what you just said, putting the customers first, that's what we hear from all the top integrators as to how they're running their business. So it makes me feel good to hear you say, you know, see that same viewpoint in our education approach.
Yeah. I mean, I think I think the biggest thing right now, and you know, there's a lot of criticism either way about what should be the focus, but I mean, I think the biggest thing right now, and Jared and I have talked about this, is that people are really looking for someone to lead. You know, there are a lot of ideas on what people could do to get back to work, or there are a lot of ideas on what people could do to do more virtual events, or there are a lot of ideas about what a hybrid environment is, but nobody's, you know, nobody has taken that leadership role and said, okay, here are best practices, or here are six things you should be doing. They're all kind of maybes, could be's, and people are hedging their bets. And so I like this idea of the show leading, you know, kind of the, some of that thought leadership.
I think that's one thing I would be looking forward to next year for any presentations on the case study side. And we just spoke about case studies on our last show, but when you think about people will have had this entire year to basically come up with new ideas,
yep,
launch said ideas, deploy said ideas, test them. And then it would be really interesting to hear next year what the success stories were. So I know I'm really looking forward to that, because right now, like you said, we're just seeing a lot of speculation on best practice, what you should do, what you could do, not what worked.
Yeah, I think that's true. With that, I mean, with that focus and the way that that goes, do you guys see that as an opportunity to kind of expand the pool of people? I mean, many times we look through the presentations at Infocom and we see a lot of familiar names, right? And we see courses that maybe I wanted to take that last year. I wanted to take that 2 years ago. I mean, courses that we've seen on the agenda year after year because they hold some value from like a technical perspective. But do you see kind of this new approach shaping the CFP and maybe expanding that pool of leadership? And, you know, if so, how do you think diversity will play in that? I mean, what do you think the landscape of the presenters will be this year?
I think go ahead, Megan.
Just like you said, talking about, you know, case studies and new ideas and launching and testing them, I think that this year is a really important year to hear from those voices that we aren't used to hearing at Infocom each year, you know? Those people who are testing and coming up with these new ideas and getting permission and are actually, you know, working with these programs, those are the people we want to hear from. That kind of advice can be what our attendees can walk away with, those actionable best tips to bring back to their companies and implement quickly. So in regards to that, that's how diversity will play a role at the show. You know, we need that Pass the Mic campaign was made because we need the speakers who we always hear from to pass the mic to their colleagues and give some other people a chance so that we can just get smarter as an industry.
Yeah, I think the other part of that I liked, and I think it plays a little bit on some content that you provided through Linda Sharkey at the Audio Video Executive Council last year, the idea of maybe teaming up with somebody if somebody's not comfortable leading something on their own, you know, like not everybody's comfortable being in the spotlight, right? So this call for diversity, sometimes, you know, it's nice to have somebody to help you navigate that's done that before. And I liked the second point of that, and it sounded a lot like what Linda Sharkey was talking about when we look at our circles. Right? We look at, she described our relationships in our industry and in our life as these concentric circles of trust. And when we look at that most inner circle, does everybody in that inner circle look like us? And if they do, as we go out to the next circle and the next circle, are there people there that maybe do look different, come from different places that we could pull into that center circle, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how we individually make an impact on increasing diversity, because we look at our own selves and try to figure out, okay, why am I always drawn to people who are exactly like me, and how can I bring more diversity into even my inner trust circle? Mm-hmm. So I like that idea of, if you're somebody who is passionate about presenting and you know somebody that would be valuable, but they just don't feel taking center stage on their own yet because they haven't done it, you know, can you find a way to partner with them and bring them in as part of a team and provide that support and exposure without really putting them on the spot per se? And I thought that was a great piece of advice in the email that you sent out.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, even full transparency, even for me, I'm the marketing manager at AVIXA, I'm responsible for the show, and I'm not usually called to do podcasts or things. It's usually my boss that everybody's so popular, everybody knows, is Barbara Laskowski. So this is another chance for her to pass the mic to me. And I think that those, as nervous as I was to come on here, sometimes it really just takes some encouragement from someone in your circle to tell you that you can do it. And I think that's what we need people in the industry to do this year.
I think that the one thing I like about what both of you said is that it takes the responsibility out of the individual. Mm-hmm. And it puts it on those experienced people, because you're not doing what most people would say, where you're saying, hey, if you have a different opinion, you're a different person, you feel you are diverse, you should fill out this application, you should come and present. You're mm-hmm. saying, hey, if you're one of those people that have presented a lot and you have a lot of this experience, we need different opinions. We need diverse selection this time. Encourage others as a leader in presentations, we'll say. Mm-hmm. You're saying, you're putting the responsibility on the veterans to help this show yeah. change and improve. I like mm-hmm. that, because I think Mark hit on a good point that, you know, a lot of people are shy and it takes some encouragement to get them out.
And yeah. Jared, the thing is that we can't do it alone. The show is a right. collective industry effort to put together. We totally. Get the majority of our speakers through the CFP, and historically we've not seen a lot of diversity in those applicants. So I knew going into the call for presenters this year that it would be really important. We have people that submit every year and they're fabulous speakers and they're dedicated. They want to share their expertise with the industry. And I'm hoping that a lot of those folks look around and say, who else that maybe doesn't look like me would, you know, has something new to say, has something to share with the industry? Because as the industry association, do it without the support of all of the really dedicated volunteers that spend their time putting together a presentation to share that knowledge.
Yeah. And on the other side of that as well is those people that we're asking them to recruit have probably been sitting in those classroom seats of theirs, right? So they've heard all of those presentations and they may know what they liked and disliked about, you know, education at a trade show. So how could they spin those presentations and tailor them to make them really effective and, you know, and educational informative.
Now with this, it doesn't serve anybody, or I wouldn't think that it would serve anybody to simply just have someone say, hey, this is a topic I've presented on for the last 5 years. You look different than I do. You should present on it. I assume we're both not only trying to get diverse individuals, but diverse topics and perspectives.
Not even, yeah, I think the topics, I mean, the topics are topics, but exactly what Megan and Annette said, exactly what you said, Jared, like, these are people in the industry with a unique perspective on the industry, right? Like, you don't want to cage that. The reason you want diversity is to bring those, that experience and those passions out. I mean, you know, me thinking personally just about diversity in two ways. I mean, diversity of the person, obviously, and making sure that we're representing everyone who's in our industry and people don't feel sidelined. But I think this diversity of topics and this diversity of passions is huge too, because, you know, like, I was on a podcast with Akeen Adewale from Verex, right? Great guy, project manager, super smart. And not only is he diverse personally, right? But the cool thing was like, he's really into like 3D and augmented reality, and he goes to the Unreal conference and he goes to these places that not a lot of AV people travel in those circles, right? And so bringing in people that have this exposure to these different communities as well helps us to kind of get these best of breed solutions in, because what we know about innovation is that most innovation doesn't come from brand new ideas. Most innovation comes from taking an idea that worked somewhere else and having the vision to zoom out a little bit and go, wait a second, those principles and those ideas could apply really well over here, and there may be a lot of benefit that we could get from them. So we're not having to do this ground up beta. We have something that's proven. We're just applying it in new and unique ways to help move ourselves forward. And I think I'll say to that, I think this encouragement part is this, and what I would say to anybody, if you're reaching out to someone, I'll tell you, even I have this same cringe reaction sometimes. And so I'll say it out loud for anybody else in case you're trying to coach or coax, one of the two, somebody into filling out the CFP. Most people, because they've accumulated their knowledge in small drips over the course of their career, don't believe that they know something unique that you don't. Because it was this slow accumulation of knowledge over time. And to them, it just seems natural. Well, why wouldn't somebody know that? Why would somebody want me to tell them that? Doesn't everybody have this same level of knowledge? They don't realize that 18 years of accumulation has resulted in this big piece of knowledge that not a lot of people have. And so helping people say, hey, your experience in the industry, your 18 years of doing this have given you a very unique perspective, and you don't feel that way because you've lived it for 18 years. But I'll tell you, if you said it to somebody in a paragraph or in an hour, they would be like, wow, I never thought about it that way before. And I think we really have to, help people realize how much they actually have to offer through those experiences that we just don't have, you know?
It's kind of like my weight gain after high school. It just slowly accumulated to where I'm at now, and I don't feel it and I don't recognize it. But when I see someone else who hasn't seen me in a while, they're like, man, look at all that experience you've gained. And that's what they said. So with a follow-up to that, I would ask, has the rubric or has the, I've been actually a part of the review committee for the call for presenters. And my question would be, have you had to change the way that you guide the review committee in what they may be looking for to achieve this? Because before, I know that I've seen feedback comments like, this person doesn't have experience in this, they've never spoken on this topic before, you know, and they've pointed out things like that. Whereas now, if we're really looking to encourage new people, have you had to change that mindset or that rubric to review the applications?
That's a great question, Jared. And as you know, there are two parts to the review process. There is an individual review process in which volunteer reviewers, by the way, we also have a call for reviewers out right now. And the only criteria to be a reviewer is that you are not submitting to the CFP. So if anyone is like, this is not my year, I'm not planning to present this year, but I'd love to contribute and help develop the program for InfoComm 2021, please submit yourself to the call for reviewers. So all the sessions get individually reviewed by, I think, 3 or 4 people, and they get scored. And we take the top sessions. I don't know that rubric has changed. What you're talking about specifically is the comments, and we're looking for the best topics, things that people need to know now. A lot of what goes into the rubric is how valuable is this topic to the audience that's trying to learn. And so that's the first part of it. The second part of it is the review committee getting together. Usually it's in person at the office in Fairfax. This year we're going to do it over Zoom, and I think we're going to split it up over 2 days so that we're not trying to cram 8 hours of Zoom time into one day. And that's where we take the more qualitative look at all of the sessions. That conversation is going to look very different this year. One of the things that has shifted is everyone's comfort level with travel. I think that we're going to see people looking to really maximize their time at InfoComm this year. And as part of anticipating that, we are looking to take our tracks that have typically been spread out all over the week and group those together. So whereas previously you had 10 digital signage sessions between Tuesday to Friday, we're going to group those all into one afternoon. You want to learn about digital signage? This is the time to do it. When you group sessions together like that, you start to see how they might talk to each other. You start to see that, okay, we've got three sessions on this one topic, where's the counterpoint? You start to see that it becomes more obvious to everyone that maybe there is, on a particular topic, we're not seeing a lot of diversity, and that's going to help us, the AVIXA staff, come in and say, all right, who else can we invite to contribute to this topic? Because they're all grouped together now, and invite people in to experience those sessions a little bit differently. So yes, it will change, but it's not something, there's not a box to check. There's not a quota to fill. We're looking to bring together the most well-rounded experience for attendees that we can.
Yeah, I like that. And I think, you know, that answered, you know, I had a question here that I had wanted to ask about, you know, what the mix of content was going to be. And I think that very well explains kind of how you're looking at content. You're looking at subjects first, right? And then grouping those subjects and then evaluating based on what we think is relevant, who submitted it, and how it groups. You know, now how do we pick the best five of these 10 that will give us the most rounded, I guess, viewpoint of this topic in general, which is really cool. Yeah, I think, you know, for me, Infocom has always been, you know, especially the last few years with the call for presenters, you know, Infocom has always had kind of this mix of very technical instructional content, and then also, you know, more of this aspirational, where should we be going content. And over the last few years, AVIXA has increased the amount of that kind of aspirational piece a little bit. How do you see that this year? Is this year a year where we're really trying to give people just solid technical skills to get through the next year, year and a half, 2 years, or are we still pushing, you know, some of that long-term vision, or is that too far out there for most people right now with their mindset? What do you think people are going to be looking for more this year?
So we just completed a survey of past education attendees, and 94% of those past education attendees reported a need for intermediate or advanced technical content. So that's not going anywhere. And the counterpoint to that is that we know everyone learns more when they see how the concepts are applied. I think the balance that we're going for is 50-50. And I think by grouping the sessions together, we'll be able to realize that a bit more than maybe we have in the past. We'll be able to go back to a presenter who maybe had proposed a very technical session and say, this is a great idea, this is a great session. Could you add some examples to it, some applications, or do you know anyone that has tried this process or fulfilled this, and can we invite them to speak? So I see the process overall of getting to the content that comes at the show as being a bit more collaborative this year between AVIXA and the presenters, and having more conversations about how we can bring out really both sides. You need the instructional and technical knowledge, and you need that aspirational side so that you understand the why and you understand the value that it can bring.
I had a question, Megan, from a marketing standpoint, since you're on the marketing team. What Annette just said lit up a little light in my head. You know, I'm wondering, has AVIXA ever considered curating a track? So saying like, hey, if you're an education integrator, you should come in and you should take HyFlex, and then you should listen to, you know, Joe Way's explanation of, you know, how they transformed USC. Like, here are six sessions that we think if you're in this vertical that you could take. Now, of course, people could do a la carte and do whatever they want, but have you ever thought of curating kind of an idea for an educational track? Like, take these six or seven for this vertical, or these six or seven for that one. Is that something AVIXA has ever thought about in that way?
Yes, that actually is perfect timing, Mark, and a great question. That is something we've thought about and something we plan to do this year. And it's actually something that we'd like help from the industry from as well. I mean, we can always curate that, but this year we plan to tap a couple of members and past attendees that can help us curate those, because obviously we have an idea, but we want to make sure it's accurate as possible. But it's a great question and definitely something that we are looking to do this year.
And for anybody listening, I actually didn't know that. Like, I just stumbled on that right now. Like, this, it wasn't
a... You could be a marketer. You could be a marketer, Mark.
It was not a, it was not a setup at all. I feel like the David Letterman, where like before we all ask me these four questions.
Yeah.
Like, I really honestly,
like we had a pre-interview, like we had a pre-interview or something, and I worked with your producer.
Yeah, exactly. Don't mention. Yes, exactly. That is so funny. Well, that's cool. I'm excited. I'm really excited for you guys. Where's the, what's the best way for somebody to learn about CFP submit? If they didn't get the email, I mean, we can link to it on our show description, but is it just on the AVIXA site? What's the, where do people go to submit?
It is at, you can go to the Infocom website, and which is infocomshow.org, and you can find it there. And then you can also go directly to infocomshow.org/CFP, and that'll link you directly as well.
Okay, great. Awesome. And then what's the submittal date for CFP this year?
The deadline is November 2nd.
Okay. So people have a month and a half to get their ideas together and start reaching out to their friends and do all those things. And then when does, I know typically you guys decide, I think sometime early in 2021, when do you actually tell the presenters when they've been selected?
That'll be in January.
Okay. So a couple months after that in January, and then people have 4 or 5 months to get everything in order.
Exactly.
Well, that's awesome. Did we miss anything, Jared?
I don't think so. I mean, I think the biggest topic is, I think the biggest topic, to be honest, for the next couple months anyways, is going to be whether you're going to go virtual or in person. I think that's the next biggest, that's the biggest topic that's probably going to surround the event. And yep. I think if I were to, I don't know, would that impact presenters applying? Because I would be okay presenting in person, but doing it remotely. I don't know. Would I feel differently about that? What would you feel differently about that, Mark?
I would do either. I think you tailor your content and your interaction to whether you're in person or whether you're online, or if it's hybrid, you know, you always have to think about, is it being recorded? And I thought about that last time I was a couple years ago, my session was recorded. And so I had to kind of think about, okay, how am I using space and I'm on a stage and am I saying something or doing things that will translate well if somebody watches this back later versus being in the room? I think there are a lot of those considerations. I will say, and I'm going out on a limb here and just extrapolating from other things that I've seen, I will say that AVIXA looks like they've got a call out for somebody to do digital content within their team. It looks like they're looking for a digital content expert to pull into the AVIXA team based on some postings I saw online. And so it sounds like that they're gearing up even more based on last year having to go virtual to have people in-house who really understand kind of the analytics of how do we create things for multiple platforms? How do we make sure that we're optimizing reach and all of those things, and probably be able to help coach you on, if you did have to go virtual, what the best way to organize your data would be, you know?
I think that would be important. I think if I was prepped and ready to present in person, and I knew that the support was there from AVIXA to help me convert my presentation, I think that would make me feel, better. But see, this isn't about me, Mark.
This is...
It is about you if you apply, Jared.
Yeah.
And if we accept your presentation. I think everyone's in the situation of planning for the best case scenario and preparing for the worst case scenario. And there will absolutely, our team worked really hard to collaborate with all of the presenters that came on board for Infocom Connected because we knew it was different. We knew that we were asking them to do something very different from the session that they'd submitted 8 months before. And I think whatever components, there will absolutely be some sort of virtual hybrid component. I think that we have a lot of ideas about what that could be, and we're going to learn a lot over the next couple months about the best way to deliver that experience. And so I want to incorporate all that new information along the way. And yeah, there will definitely be support from the AVIXA team in terms of putting together the best presentation, whether that's in person, whether that's for a hybrid or remote audience. We want to work with the presenters on how they can get their content out there and how they can produce the best talk and the best experience for our attendees.
Yeah, and I'll say, and again, please don't read too much into this, but if you are someone who has not if you are someone who hasn't given a presentation before, or if you're thinking of encouraging, of passing the mic and encouraging someone, it's just a great opportunity to just experience something and try something new. You know, it's good marketing for yourself, for your own brand, to get yourself out there, especially right now when, you know, there's a lot of uncertainties and unknowns. So like Annette said, prepare for the best. What is it? Prepare for the best, expect the worst.
Plan for the best, prepare for the worst, I think.
Yes, all of it. Plan for the good, the bad, the ugly. Plan for all of it.
We've certainly seen it all this year. And yes,
yes, exactly. But again, if you're listening and you're considering doing it, I wouldn't, you know, we are going to give you all the help that you need. So I wouldn't let, you know, the uncertainty of whether or not you'd be delivering an in-person class or a virtual class stop you.
To that point also, Megan, one of the things that we wanted to put out there publicly this year that we just sort of were doing, but didn't really tell anyone we were doing, is we typically get 400 submissions to the CFP and are usually only able to take about a quarter of them. So we go through that list and we look for sessions that would be great as webinars, that would be great as learning courses that we can pre-record videos of and put online. So we're absolutely looking at all the submissions to see, you know, how can this content be shared with the industry? How can the information here get out to more people? And so it's very possible that there's a session that, you know, we don't have room for at the show, but we reach out and invite you to do a webinar on it. And I hope everyone's open to that and excited about sharing their knowledge in whatever form it may take.
And I'll testify to that, because I submitted 3 years ago, I submitted kind of on my biology and AV track, and it wasn't the year. It just wasn't the year for it at Infocom 2018. But what happened was somebody from AVIXA reached out to me and said, hey, we're doing outreach to the Professional Conferencing Managers Association, and we think this content would be really good for them. And so they actually helped me expand my network, put me in front of somebody else at a totally different place, went to Nashville and got to speak to those folks about the same thing. So if you have a topic that you're passionate about, definitely submit it. Because AVIXA does look at different ways to help you get that message out if they think it's valuable and important, and they try to get you in front of the best audience for it at the given time. So I have seen that in person, and I thought that was really cool, actually, because I thought I was done. You know, I'm like, I'm done. I'm not going to be able to talk about this. I have to try it again next year. And it went out. And then the next year we had it, based on the feedback of that, the next year it ended up at Infocom. So I really like that. And remember, guys, if you're doing it virtual, you know, like the biggest public speaking advice is to picture the audience in their underwear. And if you end up actually doing it virtually, they probably are in their underwear. So it takes all of that pressure of public speaking off of you. Awesome. Well, hey, thanks so much for asking, number one, asking us to be a platform for this. I'm very honored for that. I think there's a lot for people to contribute in this industry, and I'm hoping that a more diverse audience submits for the CFP based on this call. I think it's a really cool initiative, and I'm glad you're bringing attention to it. So we're happy to put it out there.
I think if one out of our 11 listeners submits an application, I think that'd be great. Like, I think we've done our part. We have passed the mic then, Mark.
Yes, exactly. We've passed the mic to one person.
to one of our individuals. 11 individuals.
Yeah, I mean, one out of 11, that's like, you know,
hey,
that's a pretty big conversion rate right there.
Right.
And if you only take 100, I mean, yes, we're responsible for 1% of the CFP next year.
Yeah.
That's right.
One at a time.
Thank you so much for having us. Seriously, we really appreciate that. And it's been fun. What a great way to end the week.
Yeah, you need to get out there more, Megan. Come on.
I know. Goodness.
100% agree.
Thank you, guys.
This is the start, everybody. Megan Jackson will now be making her podcast rounds.
I'm doing four.
Exactly. We've pushed her. We've launched her appetite for podcasting. And so stay tuned for the Megan Jackson Hour once a day on your favorite podcast network.
Yeah.
I would listen to that.
Don't get me started, guys.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Go to the Infocom site, fill out the CFP, expand your circles, and we'll see you all next time.
Yeah, good luck. Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Jared.